Welcome to Nutmeg Chatter. I'm J. Timothy Quirk. Catherine Rae is an acclaimed director of stage and screen, with an extensive resume in all genres and forms of media. Her directorial work in Northwest Connecticut has been hailed as extraordinary and profound. I was fortunate enough to see her work behind the scenes while she directed Billy Elliot with the Landmark Community Theater in Thomaston. Today's chat will focus exclusively on her theater work. Catherine Rae is directing Fences, which is coming September
15th
through the 30th at the Ridgefield Theater Barn. So we hope you enjoy our chat with Catherine Rae here on Nutmeg Chatter. Welcome to Nutmeg Chatter. Catherine Rae, thank you for coming to the studios here in Torrington, WAPJ, Torrington Community Radio.
Thank you for having me.
It is such a pleasure and honor to have you here to talk about your theater work. As I mentioned before, you your work is highly praised, highly acclaimed, and I am a huge fan of your work and what you do in theater. As I mentioned in the intro, I thoroughly enjoyed Billy Elliot. I thought that what you accomplished there with the incredible team there at the Landmark Community Theater was really amazing. I really liked your use of film and how the way that you had incorporated film within theater with the mom
multimedia
character. Yeah, which got me, if you will. It was an emotional piece there. So it was a really fantastic work. I am so looking forward to talking about your work, your vision in theater, and the upcoming Fences in Ridgefield.
Well, thank you so much, and thank you for the kind words. I'm blushing.
In terms of the Fences, could you tell me how that came about? How did you choose that particular piece?
August Wilson has always been my favorite author as far as straight drama and comedy, too. I mean, his work is always smattered with drama, dramatic, and comedy. And I've always loved his work. And when the Ridgefield Theater Barn, I'm on their artistic committee, and it came up in the readings of what season was going to be chosen. And when it was chosen, I said, no, I'm not going to put my hat in the ring for this. You know, I want to see new blood come in to direct. And I just couldn't help myself. So I interviewed for it and I got it, and I'm happy that I got it. It's a dream. It's my bucket list. I want to do every one of his pieces eventually, you know, by the time I'm dead in the ground.
So, which, and we hope that won't be for a long time.
Me
so,
too.
And so this is a bucket list choice for
yes,
you.
Yes, yes.
And it was already going to be selected. When mm-hmm. you saw that it was going to be selected, you said, I want to be a part of that. I want to direct that. So, and then what is the process from there? You put out a casting call?
Yes. After the Ridgefield Theater Barn does things a little differently than other theaters do around here, where they put out a call for directors. They choose their season, then they put out a call for directors. And then once they choose their director, the director put a team together, and then from there they put out the call for auditions. And they have a very proactive publicity department. So that publicity department put it far and wide that we were looking for African Americans for this show. It's a unique piece and it's a wonderful piece, and we got wonderful turnout for the auditions.
What do you look for when it comes to casting a particular role? Is it something where you have the idea in mind and then somebody comes in and fills it, or does somebody come in and like knock your socks off and you say, oh wow, that person could fill any role and I want it for this?
I love talking about casting because it's such a unique experience for every show. And when you read a script, sometimes you hear voices in your head. You know, I hear this person saying it, but my favorite time is when you have those voices in your head and you sit down through an audition and something new happens. Somebody else comes in with a whole different. I love the surprise factor of an audition, and somebody comes in and does it a different way, and you go, "Oh my goodness, I have to have this!" And it's so exciting because it changes the whole idea of what you first envisioned. And I love the process. I love the collaborative nature of theater and the surprises. And different shows require different things. The audition process for Peter and the Starcatchers at the Warner was very different from the audition process of Billy Elliot and very different from the audition process of Fences. So you gear your auditions depending upon what you're looking for per the show and what the show requires.
Now with Peter and the Starcatcher, that was like an all-star cast of actors up here in the Northwest Connecticut. It was literally a cavalcade of stars, if you will, that was every person a perfect for their particular
Oh,
role.
it was a wonderful audition process. We all had so much fun in the audition. And what was a great story about that was the woman who played Molly. She came in not knowing the show, and she said, "Oh, my friend auditioned last night and said, whatever you do tomorrow, you just go and audition because it was the most fun I'd ever had in an audition." And she didn't know anything about the show. All she knew was that the audition process was unlike anything she'd ever seen, and so she wanted to come and experience it.
That's exciting.
It was. It was a lovely thing to say. And she walked in, and she's like, "I'm sorry, I don't know what's going on, but here's why." And we all laughed. And I'm like, "All right, let's have some fun." And she was wonderful. That was one of the surprises. Never, I didn't know who she was. And here she comes walking in, and she was so fearless, and that role called for fearlessness, and she had a poise about her, and it was just so much fun, and it was a wonderful discovery. And that's the joy of auditions, is seeing something like that.
And the joy of live theater, the joy that, because those type of moments can happen on stage on a night, right?
Oh
Correct?
yeah, every night is different, and that's another thing why I like theater. And the older I get, the more I tend to enjoy theater more than TV or film, because it's a collaborative experience for everybody. It's not a TV and film is a passive viewing experience, whereas theater is an active viewing experience. The audience is sitting there watching, and they take part in the show, and they drive the energy just as much as the actors do. So it's a great big community event,
Sure.
and everyone is different. It doesn't matter how many times you do the show every night. Every audience is different, which means every show is going to be different. Things are never going to land in exactly the same place. And for me, that's excitement. That's wonderful. And that just, it takes it out of this is just mine. It's not mine. It's everybody who views it. It's every actor's, it's every tech person's. It's just such a collaborative event.
Now, speaking of film, Fences obviously was a critically acclaimed film that just recently came out. Did any part of that film inform what is going to transpire in Ridgefield, or is that more one of those serendipitous accidents that, hey, the film came out, that might help drive interest in the
The
show?
actually we chose the Ridgefield chooses a few that they go they they're they plan out well in advance. So when Fences came up, the film wasn't even in theaters. It wasn't even we didn't even know it was coming. I mean, I had an idea because I read the trades, but I didn't it wasn't part of the process. It wasn't known that that was coming out. It was a happy accident. The film plays pretty straight to the theater script, but it's a film. They go different. You cannot keep a film in one location unless you're Alfred Hitchcock. You have to make it cinematic. So it's cinematic, whereas the stage version really focuses on the actors and the drama and the characters of the moment. It's a very different experience.
As an audience member, I can tell you that in a live performance, you feel, to a certain degree, sucked into the drama that is unfolding on stage, and that you are almost a voyeur, if you will, but in a sense of being very connected with these individuals who are emoting clearly as something that is true and genuine. Even though they're acting, it's the emotions are true. And that has a very powerful effect for an audience. I can only assume that with your particular production of Fences, that's going to be the case.
I like to create the show, or I like to immerse the audience in what we're doing whenever possible. And that's why my favorite sandbox is the studio at the Warner Theater, because the way the black box is built, you can create anything you want, and it's a director's dream space. There really isn't anything that you can't imagine and do in that space. And the theater barn is a barn, and but it's a small space, so you pretty much, if you want to do that, you have to envelop the audience in that as well. And I like that space for those very same reasons, that you can take whatever's on stage and pull it right into the audience's faces. And wherever possible, we do that. It's harder to do in Fences because it is a straight drama and it takes place in a specific space. But the entrances and the exits, and we tend, we've stretched the boundaries a bit to encompass the audience wherever possible.
I want to unpack that a little bit further when we come back from our break. We're going to take our first break, and then when we come back, I'd love to talk about the different venues and how you direct depending on the venue, because you've directed everywhere. So you have a vast experience in directing at different places throughout Connecticut and in New York, of course. And I'd love to talk to you about that, about your process and your history in theater. So stay tuned. We'll be right back with Catherine Ray here on Nutmeg Chatter. Welcome back to Nutmeg Chatter here in WAPJ. I'm here with Catherine Ray. We're talking about her extensive work in theater. We were just talking about Fences, which is going to be performed at the Ridgefield Theater Barn, September
15th
through the 30th. This is going to be an amazing show, Fences. So tickets can be found online.
They can go online, or they can call the box office. Going online is the best place to find. I'm horrible with names and numbers. They do have a number, 203-431. 9850 for information, but you can also buy tickets online.
Now, we were just talking, just as we were leaving for the break, about how you try to incorporate the space and the specific space for Fences. Is that something that you do for all of the different venues that you perform? You described how the Black Box, the Nancy Marine Studio Theater at the Warner in Torrington, is a great space, a great sandbox for you. Do you try to incorporate the way that the different stages look, the way that the seats are situated, as it relates to how you're going to direct a
Oh
piece?
yeah, 100%. I love immersive experiences, because that I like to take the characters off the stage and put them right there in the audience's laps wherever possible. And I think that's part of, at least for me, part of the joy of trying to find out how to stage something is to use the entire space and to create something. And it's also, you're in community theater. This isn't a dig at community. I love community theater, but you have financial guide,
Financial constraints.
constraints that you have to
Yes.
work with. So sometimes it's easy. It's a sleight of hand. If I want to take the, if I have to, I have a big set change or something I have to do on the stage that I don't have the electronics to do to make it happen quick, I can, over here, look over here, look over here. Here's a shiny object to your left. Pay attention over here while something's going on over on the right side. So the audience doesn't notice that something is going on, and things happen quicker. The last thing you want is a bored audience or an audience looking at their watches for a set change. So sometimes the best thing to do is just to take it right off the and put it right in their laps so they can't even see it.
Now, what was your first? Obviously, this is what you do. This is a part of your life, theater. When did that first start for you? When was that? When did you first catch the theater bug?
Goodness, I got caught by the bug very, very early. I was in junior high school, and of course you're in school and you're exposed to it, and I loved it. And then when I went into high school, I went away from it because I was focused on I wanted to go to film school, so I foc all my attention was on photography, film. I wanted to be a cinematographer. So the draw of theater was a sideline. I was in a traveling cabaret group, And I did that all throughout my high school years and into college. It was a fun, Make-A-Wish Foundation needed acts and things like that. So they would hire this company and we'd go out and perform. So I'm used to performing in every type of scenario. We'd show up at a location and they'd have a dumpster for a dressing room because they didn't, it was the weirdest
Okay.
thing. So you learn on your feet and learn how to deal with what is thrown at you at the moment. And I think that was a great training ground for me as far as from a director's standpoint too, is okay, we'll just make it work. And in college it was all film and all, and I minored. I did theater work, but I was a techie, and the minute somebody knows you're a techie, you get pulled into. So for fun I did theater, but for college credit it was it was film and TV all the way.
As a tech, you are such a valued resource that you will always find work, correct? You always
Correct.
you there will always be the show a show where they say, please come and do X and do the lighting, do the sets, do this,
Right.
do X, Y, and Z.
Yes.
So and you've acted as well as directing. What is the and then obviously behind the scenes work. What's your favorite part of it, or is it all of it?
Directing is my favorite part. I love that process. I do enjoy acting, but it has to be a very specific role for me to want to play. But theater, as far as theater and anything in general, directing is my, I absolutely love to direct. And
Now, just in a very memorable performance of yours was Morticia from the Addams
I would do
Family.
that part forever. I love that role.
But directing is if you had to choose, and fortunately you don't have to choose,
Right.
but if one had to choose, the actual love of directing is the thing that is the
Oh,
kind of a driving
100%.
force. What was one of the first experiences in directing that was formative for you? So it didn't necessarily have to be the first, but it could be. What was one of like a formative directing experience that
I
changed your
was,
perspective or?
you know what? I've always, since I was a child, I've always wanted to direct. I clearly remember I'm watching a Marx Brothers film as a small child going, I want to be able to orchestrate that. So I don't know, there wasn't any real, oh my goodness, this is what I've always known. It's a weird thing. This is always what I've wanted to do. But I've directed a short film in college, and it was like, okay, let's see if I can actually do this. And it solidified everything that I wanted. And it actually, the film went on to different festivals and we did quite well with it.
Wow.
But it was an
Yeah.
Edmund White, it was taken from an Edmund White short story. And Edmund said, I don't want it going to film festivals. I don't want it to go anywhere else. We'll give you the rights to do the piece, but with this stipulation. And we got as far as the student Oscars, and he found out about it and made us take it out of the running. So my only, an arm's way, a reach from grabbing a student Oscar, and it
Oh,
was
wow.
pulled out from underneath us. But it was a great experience, and it just really enforced that's what I love.
Wow, that is incredible. So you can do it so long as few people see it.
But
That's
the moral of the story is make sure everybody's on board with what you're going to
what, but that's actually a good lesson to learn to
Oh,
know
yeah.
it, not just we talked about sometimes there are constraints budgetary wise within theater, but there are other constraints as well. But you find, I assume, that within the constraints that there is that affords other forms of freedom for you to be able to make sure that your vision can be applied to a particular project. What other type of projects interest you? Do you have a particular, as I mentioned before, there are different, you've done all sorts of genres. Is there any genre that particularly appeals to you, or do you just like individual pieces, or is something grabs you about an
It
individual
it
show?
it's usually an individual show will grab me. Peter and the Starcatchers, I loved the idea of the make believe and be able to really break the boundaries of what going right back to the core of what theater is all about and storytelling. Assassins has always been a favorite show of mine, and
Oh,
the Warner has been so wonderful in putting up some fantastic programming that I've always wanted. You know, oh my God, I have to direct that. You know, when you hear the list, it's like, oh, please, I want to do that. You know, you feel like a kid at a candy store. Is I want to direct that one, and I want to direct that one,
I can totally understand that. You know, the time is moving so fast. We're now on our reaching our second break. When we come back, I'd love to get some of your thoughts in terms of theater, some words of wisdom that others could learn from in terms of your experience, and also what can we look forward to in the future of. We're going to talk more, a little bit more about Fences and any other upcoming shows. So we'll be back in just a few moments here on Nutmeg Chatter. Welcome back to Nutmeg Chatter. I'm J. Timothy Quirk. Here in studio is Catherine Ray. We've been talking about her work in theater. Catherine Ray has done work in all forms, whether it's film, short films, television, and all that. But we want to focus specifically here about theater. And there will be an upcoming show at the Ridgefield Theater Barn, Fences, which will be September
15th
through the 30th. You know, we were talking about how you incorporate the different space and different spaces and how you're able to use spaces effectively. What are some words of wisdom or advice that you would give to those who are interested in following along your path in terms of directing pieces? Is there anything that you
Just direct anything. Start off just taking anything you can, just to develop a portfolio and develop a sense of style. Read. I'm going to sound like a snob at this moment, but I went to school for this. I studied directing. I studied directors, because this is what I wanted to do. And I get irritated when I. Again, this is going to sound so horrible. Stage management is a very different skill set than directing. And stage managers, I give my hat off to you guys. You're amazing people. They deal with so much, but it's a whole different skill set than directing. And it irks me, or it's a thorn in my side when I see community theaters say, well, you know, they have to stage manage first so they learn how to direct. No, they're going to know how to stage manage. You know, directing is very different than stage managing. Read a book, a assistant direct, work with, there's so many amazing people out there. Do one acts. It's a great way to get your feet wet, and it's a great way to take new works that no one else has touched before and put your personal stamp on. But educate yourself. There's so much out there that we're so close to New York City. Go down and take a couple of workshops. I do it all the time, and it really is a great way to hone your skills because you learn something. There's always something to learn.
Yeah, let me ask you this. In your opinion, does having experience as an actor help you when you're a
Oh,
director?
100%. I think every director should at some point in time get on stage because it really gives you a viewpoint as to what the actor goes through and how much stress the actor goes through and the creative process. You know, I love actors and I love watching their process and I love what they bring to, you know, you cast them to see what they bring to the table. And I want to have those discussions. What do you see from your side of this character that I don't see? I've cast you because you have talent and I see the talent and I see what you can bring to the table. Now let's discuss that because a lot of the times what I come in with and what it winds up being is very different things, and I love that. I love an actor's ideas and I trust them. And you know, okay, what are you my job is to see what is your goal? What are you trying to communicate here? Are you communicating it? Because if you're not, then it's my job to tell you, you're not. Why is this not happening? Because this is, as the audience, this is what I'm seeing. And if this is what you're intending, then okay, but it doesn't mesh with the plot line. But if it's not what you're intending, let's fix it because it's just going to make you know what I mean? You need to communicate A, B, and C.
Now, I wanted to bring it, this, went so perfectly with what I experienced when I watched you direct Billy Elliot's you're wonderful in working with the young people in the cast. And on the
Oh, I love
times that I
working with
went there,
kids.
you worked with them so well in terms of helping them provide or not just the direction, but you were giving them instruction in things like, don't talk so fast. Let people hear the words that they're,
You've worked so hard to
right,
memorize.
exactly, to allow the jokes to land. But basically, you were able to work with them and explain, the motivation. And in so doing, you're able to then have people slow down so they could say the words and not just get the words out because they memorized it. And I thought that was
I love working with kids, and they are so, and again, another thing I always, I think directors should take time out to work with teenagers to avail themselves to youth theater, because you see the joy they have, and you see where you got your spark from, and it energizes, you re-energize by working with them as well. I love working with them, and then you see them discover how wonderful this is, and it's contagious. And then soon enough, you're all charged back up again.
That's fantastic. Well, Catherine, is there anything else coming up on the horizon besides Fences in
Oh,
terms of,
yes.
Your work in theater?
I have Avenue Q coming up at the Warner Theater, and that's going to
Wow.
be, yeah, I'm so excited about that.
Will that be the first time that Avenue Q comes to
Yes, it's the
Torrington?
first time for the Warner, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Uh-huh, it's
That's
going to be fun.
That's a big deal.
It is. It's a great show. It's an adult show. It is very irreverent and sits right in my wheelhouse. It's comedy. I love comedy. It's irreverent. I love irreverent. And it's puppets. Who doesn't love puppets?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Now, and so that's, when will that show?
That goes up in November, I believe.
In November.
Early
Okay.
November. I'm a little off on my dates, but if you check the Warner website, it'll be there.
Absolutely. All right. So we have Fences, which is going to be in September. That's September
15th
through the 30th. Ridgefield Theater Barn, and then later on in the year, there's going to be Avenue Q at the Warner, and we'll check the Warner for more information. In fact, I would hopefully be able to talk to somebody from the show, perhaps as we get closer to that date.
I'll come back and talk to if nobody else will. That'd be
please.
Fabulous.
Well, we have so much to talk and unpack. I'd love to learn more about your process and your world of theater, because there's just so much, and it's such a pleasure to talk to you.
I'd love to come back.
For more information about Fences at the Ridgefield Theater, is there a website or a place that
there
they
is
can
a
go
website
to?
The best thing to do, okay, I'm dyslexic, so don't ask me to spell anything out. This is why I love my stage managers. If you Google Ridgefield Theater Barn, it'll come up.
Yes, and it's actually it's www.ridgefieldtheaterbarn.org.
Perfect.
You can find out more information about that.
It's a wonderful, wonderful cast, so please come. Yeah, my Rose comes from New York, my Troy comes from New Jersey, and the rest of the cast comes from every other part of Connecticut. They came far and wide for this.
This has been a fascinating conversation. I want to thank you so much for
thank
coming
you.
On in. I invite you to please come back and talk
Anytime.
To me some more. That would be so fantastic. Thank you for coming to Nutmeg Chatter here in Torrington Community Radio. Thank you for our discussion with Catherine Ray. Nutmeg Chatter is a production of WAPJ Torrington Community Radio. Some of the music has been provided by the Jingle Punks, courtesy of YouTube Royalty Free Music, so we thank them for that. Please stay tuned at 4 p.m. for The Hotspot with Darcy, fantastic program with music and interviews and more. Nutmeg Chatter can be found online, nutmegchatter.com, and on Facebook, Facebook/Nutmeg Chatter.